Welcome to episode 412 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and George. This week, we're visiting two of our favorite things, Alaska and Holland America Cruise Line. Holland America Line is celebrating their 75th year in Alaska. They've been sailing there longer than Alaska has actually been a state. Recently, Lindsay and Sandy were able to sail with them again, this time on the Koenigsdam, a pinnacle-class ship, and they are here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. All right, guys. Once again, Lindsay and Sandy talking about Alaska.
We did this very different. I did this kind of like a solo trip, and she was with her daughter. So it was kind of, we had two separate, I mean, we did see each other a little bit, but it wasn't like we've done Alaska before. So we had very different experiences, I think.
All right. Well, that's fair. So the Pinnacle class is a larger ship, but still small numbers. So I assume it did not feel very crowded. Would that be a safe thing to say?
It didn't feel very crowded, but the layout is a little bit different than what I think, Sandy, like what you see from the other Holland ships. It felt a little...
I mean, there were things I missed from the other ships, but then this one has things that the other ships don't have. So I think it was kind of a wash. I will say we're big fans of the thermal spa. And I know Lindsay got it for the whole time. And because I was going to have to pay for it with my daughter, I didn't want to get it the whole time this time. I was like, oh, we'll just go and use the pools and see how that is. Because they have... in Alaska, they have a retractable roof that covers the pool, so you can still swim in the pool. But we decided to go to the pool on the aft, and it was, I mean, the hot tubs back there were crowded that day. And
so it was felt a little, that's where it was people soup.
Well, not so much the pool because it was cold. But when we got in the hot tub, there were two other people, and me and Ellie got in, and they immediately got up and left because we were practically touching knees, you know. And then we tried to go back to the center of the ship to the regular pool, and that's when I could tell it was crowded. So I didn't feel crowded that day.
I don't know that I could do this ship and not do the thermal spa pass, because that spa, honestly, hands down the biggest, first of all, the biggest one I've seen at sea. Just put that out there. And then the features that they had were unlike, they had things in there like a horizontal shower, which I have never seen before, ever in my life.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And I didn't understand that one.
You gotta lay down on it.
So we did, Ellie and I bought a day pass for the last day at sea. So we did get to try out the thermal spa. But there was this one, like that car wash spa thing.
So it was like one of the showers that has the multiple different angles of water, but then it's also with the lighting and the different temperatures, and it did like, I guess would seem like a car wash if you didn't know. And then if it starts on that weird cycle where it starts on the ground, so the first thing that's getting sprayed is your feet. And it's just coming at you. So I took some video of all that stuff. But there's a really cool there's the unisex sauna steam room, and then the separate ones for men and women. But there is the porthole, and really one thing that Holland does well consistently, I think, through all of their ships, at least the ones that I've experienced, is having those heated lounge chairs. And they took it up a notch on this one. I think there was like 13 or 14 of them. There were quite a few, and they were really comfortable. They were all heated too. Some of the other ships are alternating, like you get on one and it's not.
I think they were lying to us on the other ships. I think those were broken because I think they're supposed to all be heated.
But you could be very right. But these felt more comfortable because they were actually made with wood, where some of the other ones I've been on, the tile kind of can feel a little wonky depending on how it was molded. But to have that beautiful panoramic, pretty much, or that view of Alaska is one of the greatest things that I think any of these ships can do in their spa area. And they really kind of extended that so you could even sit in that, I don't know what, I'm not the person that can sit in a steam room like that, but they had a big old porthole in there that was really cool that you could look out of too.
One thing though I remember about the new Staunton Dam and the Euro Dam was that there was seating or loungers in the area with like the bigger thermal pool, and there weren't any in this one. There was nowhere. There were some chairs, but no loungers. Yeah. And I get really hot on those loungers. I don't like to sit on them for a long time. So I like being on a regular lounger. So I do wish they had kind of other seating kind of.
Yeah, they had the quiet area, but I don't know if you saw that, but it was a separate room where you could lay down on loungers and look out the window, and there was nothing else in there except for like the fruit infused water or whatever, and tea or whatever was in there. Yeah, there was like a whole separate. Anyway, this was a massive area, and if you were a spa lover, it's definitely a must. I think a must include, and I think it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good value for 7 days to have. I think I paid like $140 or something like that for the pass.
It was for a 1 day pass, it was $50. So yeah.
So it was very, that was probably my favorite thing on the whole ship.
so the other ships also have the EXC lounge area, whatever you would call it. Yes. Would you compare this? Is this similar EXC lounge? Is it different?
I think it's pretty similar. This one, they have the coffee bar right when you walk in. The last ship I was on, the coffee bar and the bar were the same. So you could walk over and get like a Bailey's and coffee or something like this. This had just the specialty coffee when you first walked in. So that was a little bit different. But otherwise, no, still really big and lots of seating in there, puzzles, books, you know, things like
really
that.
Great popular place on Glacier Bay Day. Mm-hmm. when the park rangers came on board and had their informational booths, and it was such a great place to hang out. I really love that Crow's Nest area, and this, I didn't get to sit on it because it was always full when I was up there, but that leather seating looked a lot more comfortable than the old versions. I mean, not that any seating up there in any of those ships has been uncomfortable, but it looked a lot more like one of those restoration hardware type couch.
You mean those round chairs?
Big round. Did you sit in those at all? I mean, yeah. I kind
Ellie
of
and
the
I,
bench seating.
We tried to sit in day one, and it was like, here, hold my coffee while I get in here. You know? It's like, okay, now I'll hold yours. You come sit. And then we're like kind of squished together. And after a minute, we're like, okay, we're going to get up now. You know, it's kind of, yeah. I guess if you're with like someone you want to cuddle with, Ellie and I don't cuddle. She's 19. We don't do that anymore, you know? So, yeah.
One of the things that I think Holland does pretty well and consistently throughout its ships is the seating is, and they take in mind, you know, I had some pretty good back support options for seating, like even in the Ocean Bar area where there might be a seat that's like a little more cushy, but then there's one that's a little firmer, maybe meant with the aging clientele in mind.
I didn't even think
that
about
we
that.
Are yeah. But you got, because I don't know if you noticed when we were in there that one day looking for whales, the window I had to get up and get in the other seat because the other one was too cushy, and so I got up and sat in the next one, and it had the one of the other cool features on the Koningsdam that I haven't experienced. It would be interesting to see if there's one on the other Pinnacle ships, is the Dutch Cafe. Did you guys eat there at all while we were?
We didn't
I
eat
was
there,
there
but
like four times.
I had several of my Baileys and coffees there because that's like when you're coming back from an excursion in Alaska and you're like, oh, I want a coffee, but I want to like, you know, yeah.
It's kind of like in the pass through, and it's kind of an homage to the Dutch heritage. And I think it's really, and I'm very sad that I didn't discover it and how great it was until a few days into the cruise, or I would have been there every single day. But they have Dutch food. And so the best frites I've ever had on a cruise ship, like it served in the paper cone with the, you can get the peanut sauce and the mayo or whatever to put on them. Big, huge pastries. Like she said, all the boozy coffees. They do have some specialty Dutch booze that I think they did have in our sailing. There was some great beer. It's also where you're going to find the Trappist Monk beer, which you won't find anywhere else on board. They were out of that on our sailing, but there are some specialty beer options there that are pretty, that look like they're pretty neat. So, and it's a little walkthrough area. It's also where you can get the split pea soup if you don't want to stand outside and eat that, if you want to get it inside instead.
Yeah. Fun fact, that is not vegetarian.
Like, oh, really?
I didn't know that. I
tried to give Ellie some and she's like, Mom, there's meat in this. I'm like, no, it's not. She's like, there's literally chicken in my mouth. Like, I'm really sorry. Oh, no. Yeah. Whoops.
So while we're talking about Ellie, let's hear, like, what were her thoughts? This is her first time to Alaska, right? So I'm sure you were like, I can't wait to show her Alaska. She's going to love it. And I am hoping that she didn't completely just crush you by saying she hated it.
No, so she loved it. She loved it. Well, first of all, we started in Vancouver, which we should do another podcast on that because that was amazing and we loved Vancouver. And in Vancouver, she's old enough to drink. Once she got on the ship, she wasn't old enough to drink anymore. So it's kind of like, here's a taste and we're going to snatch it back, you know? But but she absolutely loved every stop in Alaska, and she really was impressed with the Holland ship. And we did all the shows, and we did, you know, she hung out at the bars with me, and she would get like a mocktail, and she loved getting the specialty coffees. You know, she would get like a cappuccino every night at dinner and stuff like that. So, she's pretty easygoing. It's not like she's hard to entertain. And she's used to hanging out with my friends and people my age. So, I don't know if everybody's teenager would be good on this. Like I said, she's 19, so it's not like she's young, you know, she's a young adult. But she really did like the ship, and she was just on another ship in May with another contemporary cruise line. So she had a good comparison, and she liked she liked them both. So I think
she didn't seem like she was bored at all. But I could see, depending on how your teenager is, between a certain age and then drinking age, that gray area between the kids clubs and the drinking age, this is probably would be hard for a kid that needs to be constantly active all the time and have external.
Well, Alaska is a pretty active destination, though.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah. I mean, the ship itself, like aside from the port days, I could see that. But I didn't notice that many kids on board. Or
I did.
Teenagers. You did? You saw a lot of teenagers?
Well, teenagers came up to her and talked to her.
Okay. So she was like a teen magnet for other kids.
Yeah. Well, and I think she kind of has this baby face, so that like some girls came up to her and asked if she was going to be in the teen club later. And she was like, no, because I'm too old. They thought that she was like 17 like them. But she didn't really like go and hang out with any of the kids. But I mean, maybe because you were in the thermal spa, Lindsay, but that first day at sea, that pool was like kids soup. I bet.
I probably did. I passed that by very quickly on my way in.
You're like, I'm not looking at that. Yeah. Yeah.
I have like a new ritual I have to do. I do the massage on the first day and then went on the last day.
Hmm. So did she give you any indication of what her favorite things were about the cruise, especially in comparison to other lines she's been on?
I think the destination was it for her. I mean, you know, the Juno, we went and did the sled dogs, held puppies. That was awesome. She really liked the totems. We did a photography tour in Skagway, which normally Skagway, the big thing is the train. But the photography tour was very cool because he took us way outside. I mean, we went across the border and we had to have our passports. There's like a, like you go past the U.S. border, but we didn't go all the way to the Canadian border. So we were in this kind of buffer zone. But, you know, we were kind of parallel to the train for a while. And this guy, his tips were really cool. And he showed them all on the iPhone. So that was cool for Ellie because he showed her things she didn't know how to do with her phone. Like taking a long exposure video or picture of like something in a waterfall, and it made the water just look, you know, all different, you know, it was
ghost-like,
just
like,
it was cool. So I think she really liked that more than she would have liked being on the train with all the, you know, other people. And because basically we made all these stops in these really gorgeous areas, and he would like, we'd kind of go off on our own and take pictures, and then he would like get down on the ground and say, take it from this angle. And he did that one panoramic one where you start on one side and then we like ran behind him and got to the other side. So that was really cool. Just stuff like that really appealed to her. So that was good. And we did that Good Time Girls walking tour. Lindsay had talked about it before on another episode where they talked about the history of like the other gold rush.
Exactly. The real gold rush. Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was really good. It was cool. It was, she kept running into people too, who were there for like the summer working. And I think that was a cool aspect for her, you know, like the girl that was doing the tour, that tour was there for the summer. And she was like, she had gone to school for acting, you know, and it was like, oh, you could do this. You know, you could come up here for the summer and you could work in Alaska. And one of her friends just did that at the Princess Lodge in Fairbanks for the summer. So, you know, I don't know. It was just, I think the destination was what really
was the highlight for her.
Yeah.
So you, while they were doing that in Skagway, I kind of did a tour that picked up where my last tour in Skagway had left off. Cause that Good Time Gals walking tour, you go to the inn, you go to the old inn, the Heritage Inn there in Skagway, and you learn about where how it was a brothel and all this stuff. So my tour I did this time is actually one of the newer features for Holland. And I think this is an exclusive tour for them. It's food science. It's a hands-on taste of Alaska in partnership with the Food and Wine magazine. I have seen this advertised directly from the hotel, but I have clients that are going and I was trying to figure out a way to book it for them. They're not sailing with Holland and they couldn't access this excursion. Yeah. So this
I think that's a partnership. Only, yeah.
But this has got to be one of the most unique things I've done off of a cruise ship. It was all about, they talked to you about the history of food in Alaska and how it was influenced by the gold rush and how those rules of you know, you 1,000 pounds of food and you're carrying it up 60 to 100 pounds at a time and it's taking you months and months and you're relying on other people and that sense of community that fostered and the history of how it influenced that area and how remote Skagway is and how even today they're getting shipments like maybe once a month and there's no real storage for produce, so you're kind of relying on the land and the techniques that have developed, you know, the ingenuity that has inspired the techniques that they still cook and grow food with today is really intriguing. And so we got to go to the inn and had a presentation by the master chef who's also master forager. So he knows a lot about mushrooms and things like that and learned about knives, everything from knives to how to perfectly smoke salmon. And I thought my whole life that I just didn't like salmon, but it turns out I just don't like poorly prepared salmon. So that's a different issue. And they've learned about pickling and brining and sustainable gardening practices that just kind of naturally keep. It was really cool. And it's such a beautiful setting. You're out in their above ground garden area and you've got the mountains in the background and you know how pretty it is there, but it was very, very unique take on food and the history and how it, in, you know, what it means to the people who still live in there. And even when they go do a Costco run now, like it involves a plane ride, dude. Don't let anybody know that you're going, because you're gonna have a whole bunch of can you get me lists when you're going for but it was just very fascinating to do that. And then also another tour that they offer there is called Legends and Liars, and that was one that I hadn't seen there before either. And even when I was with Holland in Alaska, Soapy Smith's great grandson actually did the presentation for this at the end, and he was dressed in period, you know, dressed up like his great grandfather. But he talked about the history of the scam and the cons that he used to run, like the shell games and the things like that, and taught us how to make a Victorian era cocktails and got to learn a little bit about the history. But it was just two really unique experiences that I hadn't seen offered before. And I think I know for sure that the food science one is one you can only get with Holland. It's probably
So this was a one-way cruise, right? It was a northbound cruise, or was it a round
No,
trip?
it was
No.
round
Oh,
trip
okay.
Vancouver.
Okay. Okay. So you got up to Glacier Bay and then turned around and came back, correct? Yeah. So how is Glacier Bay? Is it that's unique to Holland, isn't it? Well, not unique, unique, but
I love Glacier Bay. It's my
yeah.
favorite part of cruising in Alaska. Yeah, I mean, it's basically a day of cruising, but it's I mean, the park rangers are on board. They bring Native Alaskans on board to talk, and it's just so cool. I love it.
They open up the bow so you can go out and so kind of like this, I've had the good fortune of doing this multiple times now. So this time I wanted to see, I've never sat up in the crow's nest at the beginning. Like I always go up there for the talk, but we're kind of running around the ship trying to get like the best pictures of the best wherever the glacier is going to be. That's where we want to be. So I started my day up there and really kind of just tried to, normally I'm always trying to get a picture, tried to absorb and kind of maybe experience it a little bit more, but I did still run outside and get some great pictures. You went out on the bow, I
Yeah,
think
we
you
did.
posted, yeah.
I took a really cool video. It's like a time-lapse video from my balcony of the ship turning to where we were on the starboard side, and then we could see the main glacier at the end. It was really cool. And we could see the glacier calving, and we could hear it, and it was just so cool. I love it so much.
So, did you see
So
any animals?
I saw whales.
Yay!
It took
Yeah.
like literally me and Ellie decided we were just going to go plant our butts at that ocean bar. It's down on deck two or three. So really close to sea level, and we just stared at the ocean for like an hour before we
Ever.
started seeing them. We saw dolphins, we saw otters. Yeah, we saw a lot of ocean wildlife. We didn't see bears or moose or anything like that this time, but we saw whales. So I was
Yeah,
happy.
lots of whales, lots of otters. I didn't see any dolphins, or if I did, I didn't register that they were dolphins. But
Very small whales.
I might have just thought they were tiny whales.
Yeah.
No, we
So, well,
saw some.
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we saw them come play. Remember when Elizabeth, when we were on Norwegian last year, and there was like 100 dolphins swimming toward our ship, almost like it's like they were playing in the wake from the ship. They were doing that again. It was like, it wasn't hundreds, it was like maybe three or five or something, but they were right alongside us and just like going right in the wake of the ship. It was really cool. And then that when the otters went by, Lindsay and I were like, Ellie got up to go take her shower, and we're sitting there watching and then all of these otters go by. And then all of a sudden I get a text from Ellie. She's like, all these otters just came by. I almost ran out on the balcony naked because she came out of
Well, because we were sitting down there, it was right after she left, and now like it was just tons, like hundreds of them. Just
Yeah.
it was like an
It's
entire
cool.
colony of
Yeah.
otters, and she's like, "Oh man, Ellie's gonna be so mad." I'm so glad she got to see him. So one
Yeah.
of the cool things I did in Juneau was I did a whale watching excursion, which I know sounds like we get whales that live here, but I never get to see the orcas that live like where I live. But so these weren't orcas. But I got to see so many, and they normally are very, they don't travel together. We saw over seven and on that tour, and they said it was very unusual. There's a mama and a baby.
Oh.
So yeah, the baby was, what was it? It was Mr. Oh, it's gonna come to me later. I'm gonna keep on to say Mr. Plinkett. It was like Barnacle and Plinkett. Yeah, maybe Barnacle and Plinkett. Something, I don't know, but they're very well known, famous whale mom and baby. And but they had a whole like their a whole bunch of other whales were traveling with them, and so we got to see them come up and do the tail, and it was really neat. But
Cool.
it was.
And so you guys were kind of late in the season. You went in August, right? So is that it was that why you didn't see any moose? I mean, did they talk about that at all, or was it just bad luck?
I think it's I just didn't really go anywhere that I
Yeah.
mean, whenever I was on one of my trips, well, I guess my first cruise to Alaska, I saw bears in like Mendenhall. We went to Mendenhall Glacier and I saw bears there. So I really, I mean, I guess I should have seen them in Juneau. We took the tram up to the top. kind of glad I didn't see them on my hike.
Yeah, so that would have been really a bad place.
Yeah.
I just keep remembering the time that they came, that mama bear with the babies was at the Mendenhall Glacier when I came out of the bathroom.
I know. Well, there was that park ranger was about to just walk up the path. I was like, stop. There's a mama and baby bears. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, it's just where I spent more time in like the city parts than I did.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, we weren't really out in the, I just remember how bad I wanted to see moose the very first time I went to Alaska. And the whole group I was with, we were looking for moose the whole time. And then we sat down at a restaurant in Anchorage to eat. And I'm not even kidding you. Freaking moose walked right by the window, right around the corner. Yeah. So the whole time, but it's always different whenever you're there. It's such a, you could do the same thing 100 times in Alaska and it's going to be a completely different experience each time because of the wildlife is so unpredictable and
the weather,
such a unique, the weather too. Yeah. And Alaska doesn't know how to be ugly. I'm sorry. Everyone's all worried about, oh, what if it rains or what if it's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. And I think you see more wildlife when it's raining than you do.
I went out there and went to Mendenhall Glacier and you couldn't see the glacier
because of the fog.
Was it foggy? Oh,
the fog and the rain. And yeah,
we had
we got all the way up there and you couldn't even.
Yeah, we had some major fog on this trip. Like there was one or two nights that I don't even know how the ship kept moving because it was so foggy.
They were definitely using sonar to.
I mean, they were navigators blowing the horn like every 10 minutes or something. It was wild. It was so foggy. Yeah.
So go ahead.
I just said it was so beautiful anyway.
Yeah. How many other lines have you sailed on to Alaska? Because I know you've done Holland before.
Yes, I've done Holland and I've done Norwegian.
Royal Caribbean.
So can you compare a little bit without necessarily, naming names, although you just did, like some differences that you notice as a passenger, not as a travel agent who knows lots of things, but sort of things that an average, like when you're thinking, okay, well, who would be more comfortable on this ship versus another ship? What are some of the things that stand out to you about Holland and, the people who might be more attracted to Holland over some of the other lines?
The experience at Glacier Bay, the access to the park rangers, that whole entire interactive Sandy, would you agree? Like that whole day, it's completely different on every.
So Glacier Bay only gives 2 permits per day and Holland is always going to get 1 because of this preferred relationship that they have from being in Alaska for as long as they have. They have their Glacier Bay day is pretty special. And, they also have preferred docking in the ports. Like in Juneau, we were just right there in town and we were in Ketchikan right there in town. I know last year when we went, we had to bus into town. So little things like that, they just have some preferred things. And that smaller ship too. I think that, I like that. It's more manageable.
Well, so the thing is, like, and that one thing that I did notice a difference on, as much as I love the bells and whistles on the ship, and I think this is probably great for multi-generation or bigger families or groups. When we were parked in Juneau, I did get a little nostalgic because we were right in front of the Euro Dam, and she looked so tiny compared to the Koenigsdam. And I took this big old video and the panoramic picture trying to get them both in. And the smaller ship experiences is excellent. But this ship, all the music areas, that's another thing I think that's different. And not just, I mean, I know you asked specifically about Alaska, but not just in general, but having such a variety of live music and having access to it on a cruise line, I think it's a very unique experience to Holland because they have BB Kings, they've got Billboard on board, and they have the Lincoln stage performers. And now on the Pinnacle class, they've got the Rolling Stone Rock Room. Mm-hmm. So to have such a variety of live music, I think is
very in your face. Like when you're walking, you walk basically through the areas and there's the music is right there, front and center. Yeah. You don't have to go into like like go into a club or wait to get into a club, you know, like it's right there from where you're walking.
And it's not just that one type of band, or, you know, there, it, like it's such a variety. I think it appeals to a bunch of different people. Mm-hmm. And for Alaska itself too, I don't know what Norwegian does in Alaska, but how they open up the bow and how they spin the ship, I think that's kind of like a lot of them will do certain things, but I feel like Holland really does take extra time.
It's hard for me to know because we didn't go to Glacier Bay on ours. So I don't know. Yeah. I know that Norwegian does go to Glacier Bay, but I don't know what they do on their Glacier Bay day because I haven't done theirs yet.
Yeah.
So I just need to go back and try them all.
It's an excuse to go back.
I will say that Norwegian has a great observation lounge on their ships. So those are really nice too.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to go back to sort of the, so you were talking about the music and how it's in your face, and Holland has a reputation for being for older people, as you cited the furniture before, and that's part of the reason I was asking what Ellie thought. So do you feel like one of the things Holland is trying to do is to say, but no, we cater to all ages. Do you feel like they're nailing that? I mean, did you feel?
I do. I do. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. Like I think we talked about this before in regards to river cruising. Yeah. We're reaching that access of where we are now. Like, and this, but it's not just for old people. Oh, wait, we are the target audience now. So taking my age out of it and thinking as like a 30-year-old, or I think myself, I know at 30, I love the ship. I love the cruise line.
Well, we met younger people, Lindsay, we asked them about that. Yeah.
About how they felt it, and they were happy. I mean, the honeymooners that were at the bar, and so yeah, I think they are doing a really good job. I think part of that was marketing, was just not knowing, because they had that reputation of being, you know, grandma and grandpa's cruise line. But I don't really think I think it's a more of an experience lover. I definitely think they are going right after the people who want to have those authentic experiences in port, like the one that I did, that was a true connection to the history in Alaska there. They don't want to just do the tourist stuff, or maybe they've been 100 times and they've already done the train and they've done this and they want to go and they want to do something new. I do think the EXC program really does a great job of reaching out and getting to those people who may be looking for a new way to experience things, and their partnership with Food and Wine, and even, you know, the Oprah stuff, all the stuff that they do seems to be gearing toward that curious, that traveler who wants to explore a little bit. And that's, I think, sets them a little bit apart from the other.
Yeah.
At least in my mind.
So we didn't talk about the food at all. I'd like to just touch on that before we wrap things up. I mean, how did you feel the food was? Was it local? Did they focus on Alaskan cuisine and Alaskan specialties and things that are available readily in Alaska?
Yes. Well, what I noticed about that, they had like a steam pot thing and some seafood, but some of that had an upcharge. So, what did you think about that, Lindsay?
So I will say, I have a love and hate relationship with Holland's food. So let's just put that out there. I do think they have a better quality of food in the main dining room. I'm not a fan of the traditional dining hours because I always seem to be hungry at like just that off, you know, it's not lunch, it's not dinner. It's a weird thing. Anyway, so that's my personal little hang up there. I'm not eating at the right times. That being said, the menus I did get to experience in the main dining area, the 75th menu, I did get to do that for the gala night, the one where they're celebrating 75 years in Alaska. That was a really great menu. I do think that they brought some local type cuisine on board, not as detailed as you'd find in a luxury or a smaller ship. So not like what, I don't want to call any names out, but not that level, but definitely a step closer to it than you would find on some of the other lines. If that is, I want to be as vague and not call anybody out. But so I think it's definitely a higher caliber.
Are we talking smoked salmon and king crab legs and giant prawns? And
not king crab legs, unless you're paying for more. Not Dungeness crab. I didn't see that.
Reindeer sausage.
No, the steam pot thing was like prawns and crab legs and stuff, but I didn't get, I think that was like $30 more. I do think they do have like these specialty chef things. And I saw, I think I remember the last night they had something from every specialty chef that you could choose. So that actually was pretty cool. And I will say too, my daughter is vegetarian and gluten-free, and they accommodated her very well. She had to let them know and order. She would order the night before what she was going to have the next day. But as long as you let them know in advance, then there was no problem getting her. Yeah. Something.
The only meal that I had that I didn't enjoy on board was room service. And that's just because it's such a limited menu. And it's really, I mean, the quesadilla is a quesadilla is a quesadilla, you know? So, but the main dining area always seems to have a good variety. I'm trying to think of what I had. I think I had fish one night. I think I did have rockfish too at one point in time.
Yeah. I think that was,
Yeah. And there was like lamb, and I think they had a good variety for what you get included was, but their shining star for me is are their specialty restaurants too. And we didn't get to eat at the one that I think we both liked the most, the Camarillo, the Italian this time.
We ate at Tamarind, which is the Pan Asian one, because of Ellie's food situation. Yeah.
So. I went to the steakhouse on, I'm going to call it the wrong name, so I'm not going to say the name that came to my mind is probably wrong, but I went to the steakhouse that I think my last night, and I really enjoyed that. It was good.
The Pinnacle Grill.
The Pinnacle Grill. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do was we should talk about that list. The Sir experience is actually its own restaurant on the Pinnacle. Whereas with the other ships, Rudy Sir Tomorrow, that experience is its own restaurant on this ship, which is very nice. And then also we should mention the Orange Class Club Orange has their own restaurant as well, which we did not get to experience. That's instead of having a takeover night at Pinnacle Grill, Rudy's has its own. And I don't know. I love the pizza. So Holland's Pizza, I don't know why I didn't have it on the last couple of ships. It was okay, but it was never like this pizza on this ship. It's the same pizza restaurant, but I don't know what they're doing that's different. It is amazing.
Tried to do that the first day at sea and it was crowded. And we asked about gluten-free crust and they said it was going to take like an extra hour. So we didn't end up doing it.
It was so good. And I love where it is on this ship. I love how they moved it up into the area where you would be watching the shows, the movies at night. And they have like movie snacks and things like that. Whereas on the other ships we've been on, it's been kind of back by the adults area or kind of back by the smoker area. And then you're kind of like penned in that. This is a really great layout and use of that space. It's all covered areas with these really nice, comfortable lounger couches and circle. Lots of great places. You'd love this, Elizabeth, to go take your whatever and sit there by yourself in your own little comfy seating. I think they did a fantastic job with the design in the center area of the ship, and it's all covered so you don't have to worry about being out in the elements. And
I did miss the back of the ship being adult only though, because it was adult only on the last one we were on. But
yeah,
and adult means 18 and up.
Yeah, but this one was all ages. There were kids back there in that pool.
Did it have an adult area?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
good for Ellie.
Yeah, good for Sandy's. I mean, it's fine for Ellie. But considering the last two ships I was on before that were like, oh, adult only, but they had kids in their area anyway. So I didn't really spend a lot of time back there because I was mostly in the thermal spa. As soon as I figured out how nice it was in there, I was. Every minute I had, I was in there.
I do want to mention before we wrap up too, their world stage, which is their main theater. This was really cool. It's not like a regular theater where you go in and you're all sitting staring at the stage. The stage is in the center and the screens are like two stories high and they wrap almost halfway around the whole theater. So the BBC Earth in concert that they do with the Lincoln Center stage performers was awesome. It was
so it's kind of like a theater in the round.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we should mention
although not all the way in the round.
Right. Yeah. Like halfway around.
On the Eurodam, there was like one option. They did one BBC and they did one like Alaska. So they did two different things. But this ship, I don't know if it's because they were introducing a new one, but they had the Seven Worlds One Planet as well as the one we had seen before, the BBC Earth. So they had two different performances. And then they were supposed to do the Alaska one that they did. And I think that one got canceled. But I did move my schedule around to do some of their talks. We should talk about that real quick. So the EXC talks on Holland are really, I think, a very like a undiscovered treasure here, because you're learning about the history or the science or the nature of where you're going. And I saw a really great presentation about breaking the ice ceiling in Alaska, and they showcased three very different and distinct women in different professions and the obstacles that they overcame and the valuable role that they play in Alaska. And so it was, yeah, it was really, Ellie would have loved that. You would have loved that, mm-hmm. That presentation. But
I think it's important to talk about these presentations too. You know, I saw my first one back in March, and they aren't just lectures. Like you may think, oh, it's like a TED talk, or it's like, but it's not, it's like a lecture show or a theater lecture or something, you know, like it's a little bit of show and a little bit of lecture at the same time.
And the history of Holland one's going to make me cry every time I see it, know, just the history behind the company and how they started and all the things that they've done and how they've adapted with change. And it's very inspiring. And I think it's that perfect marriage, because Alaska is such an inspiring destination full of so many inspiring people. And then you have Holland, who's kind of got that similar parallel history of the brand. And I know I could talk about this forever, but I just love it so much. It's one of my favorite ways to see Alaska.
Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.